how many marriages, divorces we're responsible for here.
And is improvisation better than sex?
I think it was fucking awesome.
Wait, how did you win?
You know how I won.
Awesome.
How did you win?
You know how I won. You know how I won. Say it. Hey, say, Hunter, you won.
Yon, do you like poetry?
Yeah, sure I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do like poetry.
Is that a form of imperialism?
Yeah.
And why do you think poetry is boring?
Because it's so boring and it doesn't pay a rent.
What's happening all the time?
I don't know, but I'm there for it.
Yeah, as long as nobody gets killed.
What would make poetry more interesting in your perspective?
Sometimes you can say, I need blood. Or you can say, I need blood, you know?
Is it the sun or is it
the sun?
What does it feel like to be alive?
The smoke on my eyelashes, the fog in my throat, your gaze on me. This is how it feels.
Off the top of my head, it's messy, shy, embarrassed, and philosophical.
You can be a poet. You can be part of poetic moments. You can create poetry. Also, when you don't know what poetry actually is, you maybe think poetry is only about writing in the 18th century about love, but it's not. And you can be a poet, although you don't know what a poet is.
Presto, do Anglie, kamarád, kriminálky, ahoj, Igore. Je tebe zatýkač, na Vánoce nepřijedeš do...
What's happening all the time?
Oh boy, I don't got much to say.
What is poetry for you?
For me, without struggle and without being confused, there's no real purpose to moving forward. If we have the answer, it's going to get boring.
Good evening and welcome to Object Parody, the radio broadcast from Object Paradise, streaming live from Czech capital, Prague. My name is Sandra Pasławska and with me is Tycho Say. First, we would like to tell you a little bit more about Object Paradise and our various projects. And Tycho, would you like to say a couple of words about that?
Good evening, sure. Hey, Object Paradise is a Prague-based performance and poetics collective that revolves around our manifesto that calls for poetry to be an interdisciplinary, contextually dependent experience. We're primarily curators of events and happenings, but we also curate a lot of multimedia and interdisciplinary projects, such as an annual film, Object Praha, Prince Media, Crotch Magazine, installations, other performances, and of course now this radio show. Also, shout out to Shala Radio for inviting us. This is our first radio show. We're really excited to be here.
Thank you for having us.
But yeah, so at our curations, we like to have a lot of things happening at the same time. Say someone dancing, an installation while someone is reading, music and performances, and we like the idea that all of it's improvised as well, and everything is working together to create this kind of immersive environment.
Yeah, we want to give the audience the opportunity to choose what they want to do and what they want to be focused on our events. There is no pressure to sit down and listen to one person.
Yeah, yeah. Our goal is really to get the audience to say, like, ask themselves what is and isn't part of the performance, so that when they leave our curations, they kind of continue having that conversation where they are asking, wait, is this guy having a performance? Is this guy having a poetry reading? Say, dude smoking a cigarette out front of the Path of Divinity, you know, like, is that a performance? Is that poetry? So we want, like, people to start thinking about poetry not as like a literary thing, but as an experience, something that's ongoing.
And there don't need to be a specific place to experience some kind of art or performance. Mm-hmm. It can happen around you all the time.
Yeah, so I'll give an example. We had an event called Excuse Me, Žižkov, and it was planned at the Lapanska stair set in Žižkov, this beautiful, grandiose stair set, and we set up and we had a bunch of people there, and it started raining, so we left, and we actually went to this underpass near Albert at Olshanske Namaste. We had a performance that, of course, there was someone reading, But at the same time, there was a quartet, there was mimes walking around, there was this guy in a suit on a cell phone interrupting the performances. And then two guys started, they got into a fight, and they're fighting on stage, and everyone's kind of like looking like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Is someone going to step in or something? And then they start making out. And so it's kind of like this relief, like, oh, wait, what is part of the performance and not part of the performance? And then because we didn't plan to have the event in front of Albert.
Yeah, it was under an apartment building,
was,
right?
Yeah. And there was a bunch of people there, and it was a bunch of crazy Shishkov people. And it was excellent. But yeah, so then the cops came, and we kind of like maneuvered the cops to come talk to us like on the stage area, which was where our friend was also getting a tattoo while reading. And he was sitting down, and so there was this whole like stage image of the police behind the performance, and so the audience thought that the police were actually part of the performance, and that was such an amazing thing. These kind of like unplanned things, being like, wait, is this part of the performance? Not part of the performance. So
yeah, and also the guy who was getting the tattoo, he didn't know that police is behind him, so they were just continuing what they were doing, and they just saw on the photos later on what happened.
Yeah,
so that's about it. That's the introduction about Object Paradise. But I would like to talk also about our crotch zine that we produce.
Talk about our crotch. Yeah.
We always like to talk about crotch. Okay. But that's the name of the zine. And purposely, I think, because I guess we know the marketing techniques now.
Everyone has a crotch.
Yes, exactly. So I would like to say a couple words about that. So this is a zine we started 2 years ago, exactly. We're trying to produce the zine once a month. So each issue is collaged and printed at our living room, at our house. And the purpose of the zine is to collect the works, the artworks from our community in Prague, and also to have the artifact of the crazy times that we're living in Prague, right? We want something to stay in Prague and being circulated.
Yeah, something
in the city.
Tangible that you can hold and fold and distribute. Yeah.
Yeah, so usually in the magazine we have some texts, we have some poetry, we have some news reports, some artworks, and it's all about what's happening here. Yeah.
Yeah. Community based. We'll talk about submissions and stuff later. But Crotch Magazine, crotch at objectparadise.com. Or maybe you've seen Crotch Magazine around town as well.
And you can also get it at Žižkov Šiška in Žižkov, the Globe bookstore, and also Mistečko Art Space. Yep. And also you can see us at parties, just trying to head it out and talk about all the philosophy.
We're the local crotch handlers. So
yeah, inspired by real locals selling samizdats in Žižkov. I think that's all about crotch. And now it's the game plan for the next hour. So we'll start with some news reports from the crotch zine, along with a discussion about the role of art in the public space, specifically the David Černý approach towards monopolizing.
The
about monopolizing Prague's public image. And afterwards, we'll head down to Žižkov to hear from Gordon, who runs Žižkov Šiška, which is a very important place for our collective and the community. And along the way, we'll be sharing some of the music and sounds that we captured last couple months in Prague.
Great. So thanks again for joining us at our first radio broadcast. I'd like to give a special thank you to Shella Radio for inviting us. And without further ado, we'll go to the headlines.
Meat sales are gentrifying Vinohrady. A new trend of eating animal meat has begun in the Vinohrady neighborhood of Izhihov's Poděbrad. Once taboo, small pop-ups have begun selling alternatives to vegan products despite health and animal welfare warnings. Last week, crotch reporters met up with Jan Lovitz, who runs a weekly stand at the farmer's market called Beef Eat. Lovitz told our reporters, quote, "Believe it or not, but the trend actually began with art students who claim to care for the environment but secretly get Uber Beef Eats delivered directly to their door late at night. Upon further research, our reporters found that it was quite common for self-proclaimed poets and artists to secretly order live cows to their living rooms, where they would slaughter and digest their entire bodies while listening to Chet Baker.
The Czech Surgeon General has released new guidelines on the consumption of alcohol. Last week, the office of the Czech Surgeon General advised that under no circumstance whatsoever should any amount of alcohol be consumed to ensure a healthy lifestyle. However, one or two beers are totally fine. The advisory comes after a recent study that showed the negative effects that even the slightest amount of alcohol can have on every part of the human body. However, quote, one or two after work is totally fine and may even be healthy, reassured the Czech Health Authority.
A hidden H&M store has been exposed in Berlin's famous nightclub Berghain. In a groundbreaking finding, Crotch reporters have exposed a branch of the fast fashion outlet H&M hidden on the fourth floor of the Berlin nightclub Berghain. Rumors of the fashion outlet have been circling in Berlin communities for the last months. However, due to the club's strict no pictures or videos policy, evidence of the operation had been difficult to obtain. That is until Crotch reporters manufacture a surveillance device that can be easily wedged into the anal cavity. Clubgoer Hans Klein was shocked at the news when he spoke to our reporters, stating, quote, H&M is the number one thing we wanted to keep out of here. It's like a virus. The outlet manager responded to the criticism with, quote, where there is a demand, there will always be a supply.
A very successful pop-up event at Národní divadlo took place last week. Last Tuesday, a group of photographers were surprised to discover that they were the only ones in attendance at a pop-up performance event at the National Theatre. Although each person was individually invited, the photographers gathered to find only other photographers at the event. The event was deemed very successful due to the heavy presence of media it attracted.
A new rehearsal space is now open to bands in Prague. Due to rehearsal room shortages for Prague-based bands, the Ministry of Culture is encouraging residents to take advantage of the one of the most notorious monuments in Prague, the Prague Metronome. Bands have since begun gathering in Letna Park to rehearse. Not everyone is happy, however. Neighbors of the park complain that the uniform time signature is encouraging music that puts them to sleep. They sign a petition that asks the city to manage the metronome to swing at separate BPMs, or beats per minute, to encourage a more diverse musical landscape. In response to the petition, the Ministry of Culture plans to build additional metronomes in 2025 to combat the lack of diversity.
And now, for our main story of the evening. David Chadney, Vernissage opens up the tourism season. This month, the community of relevant representatives under Prague's thumb, also known as Corrupt, installs their latest work by the David Chadney at the Historical Mai department store in Prague 1. The work, two World War II planes appropriated as butterflies, tower over Spalina and Národní streets to commemorate Czechoslovak air pilots from the war. The work itself reminds us of the cost of the freedoms that Allied forces fought for, a government for the people and by the people in opposition to authoritarian rule on identity and expression. The Chardonnay's latest installation now adds to 10 other large monuments that create Prague's identity. We spoke with Barbara Riba, who described the news by saying, quote, I'm happy Prague has chosen and continues to reinforce the single best way for our collective voice to be shared through the David Chadney. The Chadney's work acts as a beacon of artistic freedom to residents and equally act as a signal to tourists that the Czech state values artistic freedom and opportunity for all, unquote. Only 50 meters away from the warplanes, tourists can find another work of the David Chadney, the Kafka Head, which has reportedly begun to spin faster and faster. And that is our headlines for the day. And we are going to take a deep dive into this latest discussion about the David Chadney approach to Prague's public image.
So firstly, let's tell our audience who David Chadney is, Tycho. Can you tell us more?
Yeah. So David Chernyi, for our Prague listeners, very familiar with David Chernyi. You can just look anywhere and find his work.
If you look outside of your window, you probably will see some of his works.
Or walk down any of the streets in Prague one. But yeah, the Žižkov Television Tower has the David Chernyi's babies with barcodes on them. For those of you outside of Prague, David Chernyi is a very prominent figure in Prague. He has 10 large monuments in very prominent areas in Prague. He began his kind of like artistic career from a dissident perspective and kind of still abides by that title, I think, as well, as a dissident artist.
Yeah.
And his first work was in the 90s with the first work that maybe gained media
attention.
Was the pink tank that he painted, a Soviet pink tank, as the Russians were leaving the Prague, which they had invaded. And the painting of the tank acted kind of as a middle finger to the green camouflage that the Russian tanks assumed, and was dissident in that sense.
Yeah, so he started in the 90s, and since then his works are just like growing like after rain all around the city. And that's actually what we want to discuss today. And what triggered us to have the discussion was his the release of his newest work, which are the butterflies on the My Department Store at Naronichida, which is like one of the busiest streets in the country.
Yeah, it's a main street and very high traffic. Yeah.
Yeah, and like we walk by the street all the time, and we saw this beautiful big butterfly. Maybe when you look closer, they weren't that beautiful, but maybe it's just my personal opinion. And the thing is that on this show, we don't want to talk about the aesthetics of David Chernyi's works. We want to talk about the issue of him taking the monopoly over city art landscape.
Right, and kind of the effects of that as well. Because so for those of you who live in Prague, I'm sure you've been to maybe you've seen the butterflies. Yeah, they're that Narodny and Spalina Street, and as we heard from our crotch reporters, 5 minute walk from there, you can go see the Kafka head, which is his, Freud hanging from a pole. You can see the Václav Havel Library, which is also has some designs from him out front. There's some light posts that he made. Basically, like in that area, if you walk in any direction, the public art that you see that is either privately or publicly funded is in the public space, and it's David Chernyi. And so, yeah, we started like thinking about this of what are the effects when one form of expression, one artist, whether it's David Chernyi or anyone else, it doesn't matter. What happens to one, a public image of a city, and then also what happens to the genre of public art, and for young people who want to maybe, get into public art and installation work and stuff. So what are maybe the effects and causes of these this kind of problem and paradox? What do you think?
Yeah, and what also trigger me to like give it a thought and have the discussion about that is the latest interview, not the latest interview, one of the interviews in May before the butterflies were released, when David Chernyi was talking with a lady from the National Gallery of Prague, and they were arguing like who has the right to the public space, and she was saying that the building belongs to the public, but David Chernyi was saying that this is a private building. It was founded privately by a developer,
right,
so
right.
He can do whatever he wants there. And now I want to refer to your introduction. Like, I think this is the problem here, because like, who decides where we can put someone's art, and who is representing the city?
Right, right. Yeah, and like just to be blunt, like the topic of public art is difficult. Like in general, because if you look around any city, the public art is something that everyone has to kind of agree with or have shared values with. So we have like traditional things like statues of dudes that liberated
men
on horses, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have someone who fought for a civil rights or whatever, because it's very difficult to disagree with these things. And that's in a sense what makes David Chernyi dissident, but going back to the conversation that you brought up, is like, if we are only shown one way to be dissident, what does that do for the idea of dissident art?
Yeah, if you're like anti-establishment, but you kind of became the establishment because you own art landscape of the city, you can be anti-establishment again, you know? Like,
right.
So, you know, you can put middle fingers all around the city and pretend that you're a punk when it becomes pop punk because you, you became the city. There must be someone who is against you now because you're the majority.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like, obviously, breaking convention is convention. And maybe that's where the conversation that some people talk about, the aesthetics of Kitsch, which we're not going to talk about the aesthetics of his works. Again, don't have anything really wrong with his works, just the idea of his works existing in context. Now, where was I going?
I have your thoughts. So now talking about him and institutions in Prague, because we, you know, we found the problem. What's the problem? What it's public space, what it's the private space. We're not talking about his work. We even don't want to talk about himself specifically, but the whole story is around him. So does David Charney need to do something about that? Do we need to do something about that? Does the government need to do something about that? Is there any, like, I don't know, maybe you can write in comments if you see the problem, if you are kind of pissed that the whole city is owned by one artist.
Right. Yeah, because to play devil's advocate, so let's say that David Chudney has the cultural monopoly of Prague's identity. He's the one that developers go to commission a work, all these things. Should we be upset with David Chudney for being a successful artist? Absolutely not. But,
or should we?
Should we? So maybe talk about that in the comments. But here's maybe the analogy. So you have a record store in your house. You have a record store. That would be pretty dope.
Everyone has a record store in their house.
Yeah, David Chudney has a record store in his house. That's actually it. Now, you have a record store in your town, and there's the punk section at the record store, but it's only from one band. What does that do to the residents who are thinking about, they want to get into punk music? Or what about people that want to start playing punk music and they're only given one form of punk music? Now, it's not really the band's fault because they were just good. It's more of the store, the distributor's fault. Meaning, I think we're kind of upset about the Ministry of Culture or the people who are just constantly going to David Chudney to create the public scene. But the question is, if this was your punk band that had your record in the record store, do you have an obligation to kind of go up to the store manager and be like, hey, maybe it would be good if
salary, you know?
Well, maybe no, but maybe it would be good for the punk genre and distribution of dissident art if we had more of it and not just stuff by me or whatever. So I wonder how David Chudney would answer that question.
Yeah, and it's difficult because, like, we don't want to go personal here, but while I was doing research and I was listening to some of the interviews, whatever criticism is thrown on him, at him, he just says that everyone is a communist and this is a private property, you know? You can't backlash criticism in that way. That's why I would like to get a little bit more personal, because when you act like you're this punk, dissident, Prague persona, but also you got the monopoly over a city, and then when someone criticizes you, they're just communists and that's all you can say. So maybe he should do something about that.
Because he's also kind of like infamous for not being able to talk about criticism or take criticism. Yeah, to just call like someone questioning his role in Prague's identity as calling them communists or something. You know, thinking about the word communist, a communityist, you know, well, he's not really allowing community to exist, or, you know, the Ministry of Culture or these institutes aren't allowing for the community of the diverse range of artists in Prague to show their works and also to, you know, inspire young people with different ways of expression.
Yeah, and it also gives that idea, like talking on like a broader perspective, when you have communism, democracy, and capitalism. And this weird, like, not weird fight, of course, communism was bad, right? But, like, you're so anti-communism, so the direct response to that is, like, total capitalism, because his defense is like, oh, it's a private property. Right. But, dude, we have democracy in this country, right? So maybe we should find some...
He likes that supply and demand discussion. Yeah. They commissioned me. Yeah, well, it's... Your works, we're not living in David Chardonnay's gallery, right? Yeah. We're living in Prague. I pay taxes here. We didn't have a discussion. And maybe this is like actually a good point as well. So if you're upset with these things, what do you do? Do you make a petition?
Do you post on Facebook?
And maybe the conversation isn't, let's have less of David Chardonnay. Let's have more of other people. That's actually the answer. Because, again, I have nothing wrong with... I actually like David Chardonnay's works, young people and people who want to get into this craft, as anyone does that wants to develop a skill, they read a bunch of texts and read a bunch of books about this, and they interact with different artists from this discipline. Now, these people are going outside of their door, and they're like, I want to go check out some installation art, and it's all from one person. What effect does that have on those young people, and then, you know, also the greater discussion about Prague's identity.
Yeah, and also even last week we went for the exhibition at Umprum. It was the opening of the summer semester, and I was nicely surprised how amazing all the works were. Mm-hmm. And the building was filled with like thousands of people, and there were so many rooms, like five floors, so much of great art. So maybe let's find a way how to push these folks and give them the opportunity, not one guy, right?
Yeah.
And there's another story I wanted to talk about, because when we were, like, it was back in 2021, I think, when we were organizing an event in a tunnel. It was Stary Witkowski Tunnel. So as we described before, how our performances look like our events, how they look, we want to do it in a public space, right? But we knew that someone owns that tunnel and we can't just go there and do our event and not notify anyone. So we want to do a good thing and go through all the bureaucracy step and get the permit to organize an event there. It took me 3 weeks going from Prague 1 to Prague 3, from Prague 3 back to Prague 1 because people were sending me places, then going to Strahov Stadium, to the Ministry of Tunnels of Czech Republic, who told me, oh, it's completely fine to do that. And then they sent me back to Prague 1. And I'm saying the story because there was a potential of doing something. People wanted to do something for free. People wanted to gather together, yes. Yeah. But no one wanted to support that. And maybe it's not permanent, you know, art in the city space, but I think it shows something that it's difficult to come up with an initiative here.
Yeah, I think it would be a healthy thing for a city to have more outlets for people who aren't established, quote unquote, artists to, submit something or participate in the discussion of the public identity of Prague. You know, these kind of outlets, I think, are really important. I mean, you know, platforms like this, actually, Shella Radio. Where people can voice their opinions and these kind of things,
exactly.
And show different forms of expression. I think, yeah, at the government level, I'd really like to see that in Prague and other places as well.
Yeah, because there are so many people in Prague who want to do stuff, but they need to be, like, the opportunity needs to be given to them, you know? It's so difficult to establish something.
Yeah. Well, I guess some of our thesis statements are, I think the record store analogy is pretty interesting. You got one record store, you got one punk band in the punk section. What does that do for people that want to get into punk, listen to punk, people that want to play punk? What does that do for a punk generally for the genre? Is it the store owner's fault? Does the punk artist have an obligation to recognize that they have a monopoly?
We can just discuss these things. I think we won't come up with any solution. No. It's just, I think it's good to voice up, voice out
voice out,
say all of the all these things here. Yeah. So maybe David Cherney will listen to us and maybe
let's have a chat with him.
Maybe Ministry of Culture.
Smart guy, right?
I don't know him. I actually don't know him. I don't know his smart guy. Perhaps.
Anyways, let's just say one thing though. Also, is that of course he does own Meat Factory, which is it's also funded, but it is a platform for people to go and express themselves and do stuff, and there's open studios and stuff.
But it's like somewhere at the end of Prague, so maybe let's throw a studio in the middle of Prague so everyone see all these young people.
Yeah, I mean, but you can also look at it in the sense that is that even another way to have a stronger grip on kind of like the art that's coming out of Prague? I mean, he doesn't have a huge curatorial hand in Meat Factory, to be fair. But yeah, so just to play that other side of the argument, let us know what you guys think. Shoot us a message in the YouTube comments or something. I think it's a really fascinating discussion. Yeah, we don't have the answers, but I think questioning and continuing to have these questions about the role of art in the public space, when it is too much, what should the artists do? What should our government systems and social systems do? And what would the utopic artistic society look like, knowing that utopias always require dystopias, right? So I don't know, maybe it is good that a city has one artist,
perhaps. Let's keep having discussions.
Okay, anyways, we're gonna transition now. I think
transition,
there's something very interesting actually happening over in Žižkov.
It's here. What's going on?
Let's listen in.
Shh. Hey, Unit 1703 here. KDY, do you copy? Over.
Shh. Yep. Unit KDY here. What's going on? 1703, over.
Copy. Yeah, roger.
Hey, we have an unhinged Merriam-Webster out here in front of Brennick Hotel. Can we get some flat cap units to apprehend this vocab narc? Over.
Yep, copy. Me and the unit can be over there in half of a pack of Winstons. We are finishing a discount literary siege out front of Bukowski's. Over.
Bukowski's. Roger. Copy. Hey, I'll let dispatch know. Hey, God damn it. Hey, the guy in the mustache is using line breaks in public and bragging about it. Fuck. Hey, KDY, what's the protocol? This guy's also writing an iambic. Over.
Shh. Copy. Shit. There's been a lot of this around lately. Hey, who keeps smuggling the Poetry Foundation into Praha 2? Honza has gotta get a grip on those guys. Hey, Ming, come on. Hey. Who's with you? Marek? Is it Marek? He's in the Split Infinitive Insurance Unit, right? Over.
Yep, that's correct, KDY. Marek's still in the Split Infinitives. Over.
Copy. Yeah, well, by the looks of it, we got a couple anti-Split Infinitives down here, too. You twins, this the romantics. Just wanted to show the good in the world, too. Jezus Maria, 1703. Jezus Maria, over.
Copy. All right. Yeah. This is getting quite serious. Hey, let's go grab a couple of those guys out front, Lavni Nadaraji. Those klooks have been splitting and spitting infinitives all over the place. Over.
We are en route. Just gonna pacify a couple of heroic Koplev fanatics who are threatening Klora Žižkov with explosive bears. Over.
Copy. Hey, make sure not to grab that Neo-Keatsian who refuses the handcuffs unless they're made out of fresh roses. Over.
Shh. Dispatch just found my personnel and they say they were overwhelmed by blank bears, fascists out from Boho. They're deploying the special forces. The geek is gonna need some napalm. 1703, over.
Wait, what? The army? They're sending the army to Boho? To Vinohrady? It's really that bad? Fuck. Has Oxford resurfaced? Over.
Shh. Copy. It's all unconfirmed as of yet, but stay frosty out there. You never know where the sneaky Oxford command might have been planted. Hold the power. fire squad in case. Over.
Shh. Hey, I need some backup over here at the train station. Send backup. The armed Dickinsons are at it again. Hey, they're threatening to blow up the whole district, and they're expertly camouflaged. Over.
Okay, I just got the word. Everybody needs to back off now. The Army Chief of Staff just got in touch. They're dropping the H-bomb. And after the dust settles, they're gonna release a pack of rabid dogs. Over.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit. You almost start to feel bad for the literate. But, well, then again. Over. Shh. Wow, Wiener Rowdy is a mess right now. Let's hear what else is happening in Prague.
I wish I had the button from your radio show to say, Rory!
Forgot the delay apparatus. The echo machine.
Next time we'll bring the echo machine. With five fingers on my hand, I'm an alien going downstairs, and I'm an alien loving leaning on rocks. I'm an alien coming from fracasters. I'm an alien not knowing what's going on, but I'm an alien and it's Friday night. I'm an alien.
Show me how it's done. Hold me like a gun. Call me
right, you just heard Ezequiel Gomez, who played last week at the Napa Jam session. Thank you, Ezequiel, for that.
And right before Ezequiel, there was our beloved one and only Alpha Strategy. They played at Underdogs last month.
Yeah, shout out to Rory Hickney and Amen Radio, by the way. And the first track was from Velocet Rolls. Velocet Roll, actually, and they played... I think they're having a bachelor party at Cafe Valesa. Yeah, that was really cool. That's a great track.
Yeah, and from here, we'd like to give you a little heads up on some of the upcoming jams in Prague almost every day. So today and every Sunday, Žižkov Šiška has their Sunday Soup, which features a full stage with instruments and professional sound. And the sessions are also recorded and live stream on YouTube.
You gotta come.
Yes, and whenever you perform, you can see yourself on YouTube, and if you want to get the material from the session, you can reach out to Gordon, who you're going to hear in a second in the interview we're going to play later on, and we are there, you're going to be there too.
You got to come.
And on Wednesdays, there is a Bricks Hostel jam sessions. You might need to bring your own instrument, or at least to steal it from your roommate or something. They have drums and microphones. And also on the first Wednesday of every month, there is the Modal Music Jam at Punktum, also in Žižkov.
Yeah. By the way, that's Brix, B-R-I-X, Hostel.
B-R-I-X.
Yeah, that's just how you spell it. Yeah,
yes, Brix Hostel, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Really, thank you. On Thursday, there is the Žižkov Šiška Jazz Jam. Yes, and also the hybrid session jazz jams at Campus Hebraiska. They have it last Wednesday of each month.
And the Thursday jazz jam at Šiška Šiška, this is the last one of the season, actually, this week. So, yeah, but they'll continue to have their Sunday soups. We talked to Gordon throughout the summer, so hope to see you there.
And as for Friday, there is a coffees jam session in Holešovice. And every last Friday of month, there is Grubiček, and it's super rad jazz jam with some funk and hip hop. We love that, but unfortunately, all Prague One is turning into one big hotel. So this month, there will be the last jazz jam there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's at the old Grid Center, which I think our host Scheller Radio know quite well. And Saturdays, you gotta fend for yourself. Maybe you can go to your neighbor's flat and make a mess there or something. But anyways, it's Sunday, so let's head down to Žižkov and talk with Gordon, who runs the Sunday Soup.
I'm Sandra Pasławska. We're with Object Paradise, and this is another episode of Object Vault. Today we're at Žižkov Šiška. With me is Gordon. Gordon is the owner of Žižkov Šiška, the builder of Žižkov Šiška, the father of Žižkov Šiška. And I would like to start from the question, why did you come up with the idea of starting a community, starting a venue, and started the venue in Prague?
My role, I would say the most important thing I could do is really give a platform, give a space, allow someone to nurture something nearby me, make up for what I lack just by having the door open, open mind, open door, open floor. I would just sort of roll out the carpet a little bit, and people, you know, would just go with it and start bringing their ideas and their concepts in, and I just kind of let them do what they would like to do. And that's very exciting like this. It's a huge stimulus to have constantly ideas, constantly beautiful, wonderful, creative people coming around, and who really looking for a place to express themselves.
Yeah, so that's the reason the community is so important. It's about the ideas, because like I wonder what is the reason of building community, what is so important, because you all the time talking about community and people that surround you. So what is the purpose of your need for community?
If you can afford it, the greatest reward is like a gratitude or a good vibe. You can't buy this, you can't pay for it. And down the in my time, I've realized that for me, that's really that would be my reward system. I think to be able to look back on the places, the things, the how things went, the reactions, just the nice things that I was part of, either because I was part of or because I created an opportunity for them. The key to a happy life is having low expectations, because you don't have to get disappointed so badly then by everybody and everything. Yeah, so kind of just to roll with it, roll with things, I guess.
You gotta stop living. You gotta stop living.
How did you come up with the idea of Sunday improvisations?
The Sunday soup, that's a special thing. I was inspired for Sunday soup by the musicians that were around. But the biggest inspiration is coming from Dublin. And every Sunday, it's the biggest day for live music. People get up on Sundays, usually with a hangover, because it's Ireland, it's Dublin. Sorry. But anyway, 90% of them. The point was, it's kind of the wind down of the weekend. That musicians, they play gigs on Friday, Saturday, Thursday. People party like crazy. And then Sunday, it's time to relax. We used to do it. I came up in Dublin also through the 90s, so the beginning of the techno scene. And we used to go to the party on Friday evening. And on Sunday morning, we would be just like, you know, tired, but still awake somehow. And so you would go looking for one of these events then in the afternoon to have a cappuccino, have a smoke, relax. Yeah, and then you're fit then for Monday morning, back on the job. And that's kind of the way of the weekends, at least at that point in Ireland. So this was really, and also there was nothing to do in Prague on a Sunday. It was really dead. It still is quite dead, actually. Yeah. So they don't have that concept here. So I brought that directly with me. Anyway, so well, Sunday soup has a nice ring to it, and the concept of having a soup, and we still do now. So this, for many people, that's the one of the only real meals they get all week. It's super vegan, super healthy. Everything's very nice about it. So it's a good meal for arty types who are potentially not eating so well. So it's something they can count on. It's a warm, filling feed. So we can do that for them. And soup as well as the mix. So the people who are coming, they're the ingredients of the soup. They're the ingredients of the jam session. So this is sort of jam is jam and soup is soup. A lot of the people who get caught by Prague are people who are a little bit addicted to chaos. There's a lot of drinking going on. There's a lot of usually, obviously, but there's a lot of very intensive partying. It's very fast in a neighborly sense. So it's not fast like in a big city where you don't matter. Here people are together. And the power of the chaos of that catches some people's imagination, and they really get kind of hooked on it, because they get caught by this sort of bohemian-esque, the boozy, the promiscuous, let's say, this type of thing. It's a special thing. It's definitely a dark Prague corner that captures a certain type of people. And I think that Žižka is a kind of mild-mannered port for those people to collect themselves a little bit. We'll be right back.
think about the phrase control cows with context.
Control cows
with context.
Chaos. Control chaos.
Control chaos.
With context. I will say it again. Control chaos with context.
It's different because control cows, that was a kind of a different, that was a difficult one. I was thinking, how do you control cows?
Hell, hell yeah.
About that.
What do you think about controlled cows? You just heard Gregor Dalecki at Sunday Soup Shishka Shishka. And we hope we see you guys there tonight, Shishkov Sunday Jam. But before we sign off, we'd like to give a special thank you to all the folks who helped make this radio broadcast possible, specifically Yadimir Lelek, Pablo Garuno, Tofa Ahmed, Mariam Oya, Patricia Martinez, Ben Ray, Hunter Andrews, Rory Hickney from All Man Radio. Also check out his show. That's monthly. I think he does it at the end of the month. Of course, Gordon from Shishka Shishka as well. We'd also like to give a special thanks to all the musicians in Prague that we presented to you today, specifically when we were talking about Dava Chedny, Roxanne Mendel, and her improv music students played some of the sound behind there that we captured on our VHS camera. And later on in the show, the live recordings of Velocet Roll, Alpha Strategy, and Ezekiel Gomez. And most of all, we'd like to give a big thank you to you, our listeners, who struck through with us this last hour. Yeah.
Yeah, should we say thank you to David Cherny? Thanks to him, we could have this discussion.
Nah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
All right, and with that, we'll leave you with a final message before we see you in Shishkov.
Thank you.
Fuck you, fuck me, man.
Instruments even worse, and they make you like it.